Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Berger, speaker. Today on the broadcast, we are going to continue in our current series of studies, Living Evidences of God. And for this series, we have chosen the theme verse, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Here are the words: His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Christ has called us. We must answer that call. And He Himself said, many are called, but few are chosen. Does this mean that God is very, very particular and that He only chooses to save a few people? Is that why the few are chosen? No, I don't believe so. I think it's because of the fact that so few, those that are called, many receive the call. Many realize that they have to come to grips with God. Many realize that they have to face death and that there is salvation, but they don't do anything about it. And we are the ones that choose Christ. And when we choose Christ, then He chooses us. But that's why many are called, but few are chosen. Now today we wish to continue the study by talking about the living Christ within us. On our last broadcast, we considered the new birth, and from the third chapter of John's Gospel. Nicodemus, that giant ruler of the Jews, that very, very wonderful person, was told by the Lord Jesus that he must be born again. That as he was born into man's family, so he must be born into God's family. No amount of reformation, no amount of zeal, no amount of dedication, no amount of concentration will bring us to the kingdom of God. We must be born into it. It's not through our efforts. It's through the efforts of Christ, who loved us and died for us on the cross of Calvary. And then we saw in that third chapter that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, gave Nicodemus an illustration. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now He was telling Nicodemus, Nicodemus, do you remember the time when Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness? The children of Israel were going around the land of Edom. The journey was long, and it was hot. And they became bitter, and they became complaining. And for their punishment, God sent these fiery serpents among them, and they bit them. And many of the nation of Israel died. And they came to Moses, and they said, Moses, we know we've sinned. Ask God to take away these serpents from us. So Moses went to the Lord. But the Lord didn't take away the serpents. God says, you put a serpent of brass upon a pole, and it will come to pass that if any Israelite is bitten by one of these fiery serpents, if he'll look to that serpent of brass on the pole, he'll be healed. You know it worked. God's instructions are always correct. It worked. He got an eternal life, as the Lord told Nicodemus. Now, we're not told in John chapter 3 what that life was. Actually, the life is an extension of the life of Christ Himself. In John chapter 1, that wonderful chapter extolling the Son of God, as John the Baptist did, he speaks of the Lord Jesus. In Him was life, and the life is the light of men. Now, when we get eternal life, the Spirit of God takes the life of Christ and puts that life within us the moment that we trust Christ, believing on that He died for us on the cross, putting all our faith in Him. That life is put within us, and we are born again. I don't think we could possibly see this any plainer than in the second chapter of the Galatian epistle. The Apostle Paul is the speaker. Verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Now Paul says very distinctly here that it's the life of Christ in me. Not I, but Christ liveth in me. That is eternal life. That's why it's eternal, because it's an extension of the life of Christ. And he's telling that to these Galatians, who incidentally were being beset by legalistic Jews and were told that they had to keep the law in order to be saved. And Paul is telling them, it is this matter of eternal life is the fact that Christ is in you. If Christ is in you, what need you to be justified by the law, by the keeping of the Ten Commandments? You don't need it. You've got eternal life right within you, and he tries to make that very, very plain to these people, that they might realize that it is Christ within them that that is the means of their salvation. That life of Christ lived out through our bodies, we see in Colossians. This is confirmed by Paul in the epistles of the Colossians. Listen to this, please. Chapter 1 and verse 27. God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He illustrates this to the Galatians in chapter 4 and verse 19. He says that to them there, my little children, his little children in the faith, of course, of whom I travel in birth, travel again until Christ be formed in you, travel in birth for them. You do travel in birth to see a soul saved. There are many anxious moments, many fears, and many pains, many sorrows before sometimes people get saved. I heard of a young woman recently who was dying with cancer, and it was her desire that her death would bring her husband and her brother to the Lord. And she was traveling in birth for them. And Paul says the same thing to them, of whom I travel again in birth, in Christ, in you. I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. He was afraid that these Galatians, or these, rather, the Judaistic teachers that were telling these Galatians, that they had to keep the law. He was fearful that they had listened to them. Now he says, if you're depending on that, you're not born again. You're born again when you trust that Christ died for you on the cross of Calvary, not by keeping the law. And he says, but he speaks of it, and he speaks of it so vividly. My little children, of whom I travel again until Christ be formed in you, I desire to be present with you. I want to see you. I want to talk with you and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Did you really get saved? Could you desert Christ? Could you believe that you're saved by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and then take up the law as a means of justification? Paul says, I'm afraid of you. I'm afraid you missed the point. And I want to talk with you about these things. Now, this is very, very wonderful to see these verses brought out. That is Christ in you. That's the life. It's the eternal life because it's the life of Christ. Now, God wants that life lived out through us. He wants others to see Christ in us because he is there. And he wants us to live for Christ. And do you know that is, I think, probably one of the most powerful witnesses that we can have, to live the Christian life. When God first saved my soul, I was so interested that others might hear about this wonderful privilege of being born again into God's family and having eternal life, that I was just talking perhaps too much, and perhaps not advisedly. Perhaps I was forcing the issue in many instances. And I spoke to a godly man, and I mentioned the fact, I seem to tell this story to people, and they don't believe it. They're not stirred. But he says, I'll tell you what you can do. He says, live Christ before them. Show them the difference. And that is what happens when a person gets saved. He has the life of Christ within him. And that life, when it's lived out, others see it. And they notice the difference. And they say, this thing is for real. And they in turn, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and are saved. There's another verse that I'd like to refer to in the first epistle of John, chapter 5, verses 11 and 12 there. we read, "This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son." And it's his Son in us, too, incidentally, as we've already touched upon. "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." Now, you notice Paul says, does not say here, "He that has religion has life. He that has baptism has life. He that has joined a reputable church has life." He doesn't say that. He narrows the issue, and he makes it very plain. "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." Now, this is the life that we receive when we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in Colossians chapter 4, we have another lovely verse there in verse 4. "When Christ, who is our life," and you notice how he puts that? "Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." That's ahead of us. We might well say, for everyone who is born again, who has trusted Christ, we might well say, all this and heaven too. And that is exactly correct. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51, "Behold," Paul writes, "I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this old corrupt nature of ours, that is still with us, and still sins, incidentally. And this mortal must put on immortality." Oh, how wonderful. And then we will say, "Then it will be brought to pass this saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. The law gives sin its strength. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And then he says this, and this is the climax to the whole 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. "Therefore, because of this, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." We who know the Lord Jesus, let's let Christ's life come out through us. Let's let people see Christ, demonstrating to them by our lives. Our Father, today we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus for what you've done for us and for the life of Christ within. Help us make him known by our lives. In his name we pray. Amen.